Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Growling, mean and angry. Hear that couple shouting, it's Dana and Jay. It's Dana and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition to Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Ear Jr., Jay Morrison of The Athletic here with you on the walkout on the final game of the regular season, one where the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Baltimore Ravens 27-16 to make it 8 wins in a row, 12-4 on the season. Officially, already official, but now really official, AFC North champs in back-to-back seasons, first time in franchise history, tied for best regular season record in franchise history. A lot of things have happened this season, but if you started with that fact pattern back in August, you would say, wow, this team really lived up to the potential. And as we sit here today, it has been a wild ride to get here, but the playoffs are in front. Everybody's 0-0, you know that, Jay.
That's so I've been told.
Yes. The playoffs start. You won't find a team in much better position than the Cincinnati Bengals are, despite warts that we will pick through here a little bit, despite, you know, an interesting path that currently sits in front of them, one that they're happy to address with frustration. But you can't ask for a team in a better place entering the playoffs, really, than the Cincinnati Bengals are right now.
Yeah. I mean, on a roll, this tied for the longest win streak in franchise history. Joe Burrow couldn't even remember how many in a row they'd won. He said he was asked something about the streak they're on in the postgame press conference, and he said, how many have we won in a row? And had to be pointed out that it is 8. This was not, you know, I think they're kind of lucky that the Ravens opted to take the path they did and sit all those guys. This was not the kind of performance you would expect from a team trying to secure something. The offense looked disjointed. Burrow was a little off. The defense did great in the first half and then gave up quite a bit to a bunch of backups in the second half. But in the end, 4 turnovers. Only held them to 16 points, and it's a double-digit win. They'll take it. They'll move on. And as you said, it all starts anew next weekend.
Bengals win, Bengals cover, right? Like, sounds broken record at this point.
Well, depending on when you got the line, because it kept climbing today.
It did keep climbing. But, so here's the thing. Jay, I have my jacket that a couple weeks ago, I think we did when I accidentally was whooshing a little bit. And so maybe you heard it on the walk a couple weeks ago. But right now, it's not making any sounds, but I'm very aware it's in the room because it is reeking of cigar smoke. As soon as we walked in there, I thought, oh, why did I wear this jacket? Because the party was on. If you were wondering if, you know, the way that they were the champs and they're already and then the game was going to like mute the celebration, oh, no, no. This was the full deal. Yeah. The pictures you saw last year after they beat Kansas City, the things you heard. No, we weren't in there a lot. We weren't in there last year for that stuff. This is the first one we've really been in there for. Everybody's got a cigar. Joe Burrow brought all the cigars, handed them around. Jesse Bates called it. It must have been an early Christmas present for all of us. and everybody, the cigars out, everybody, the hats out. Joe's had the shades on. You've probably seen that going around. Switched over to a white turtleneck later on, for those of you who are in the fit conversation. But it was a party. Pictures, like, you know, people. At one point, I looked over, and Burrow just, like, had the cigar in his mouth in the corner, was just rapping to himself by himself to the song that was going on, like, kind of feeling it, you know, because they were not going to pass on celebrating what they've done, despite the disjointed nature of the last few weeks, the unprecedented nature of the last few weeks, some of the sloppiness that there's been, like, didn't really matter. There's still a sense of, we're celebrating this.
You know, if you follow Eli Apple on Instagram, you'll see me making a cameo in his story, because I tried to interview him and he turned the camera on me. And it was fun, because it was I skipped Zach and went straight in to get players, and all the position groups are lining up and holding up their shirts, and Sam Hubbard's on the phone like, I can't find him. I can't. And I asked who he was trying to get, and they were looking for Marion Hobby, the defensive line coach. They wanted him to pose with the T-shirts and the photos. And Jesse Bates, my new favorite Bengal player, because I asked him if he had a second to talk. He not only said yes, he put his cigar out before he talked to me, which was greatly appreciated, because I love a good cigar. I smoked two last night while unwinding from the week, but that was a bit much. 60-some guys in there. I don't go to cigar bars for a reason, and that felt like a cigar bar.
So apologies to anybody that's standing around me while I'm wearing my jacket the next couple. Going to work on it. We're going to get those things taken care of. It's hard with these puffer coats, Jay. All right. Let's get into a little bit of a couple things we want to talk about here, because let's set the playoff picture for you. AFC is set. As we record this right now, the time of the game this weekend has not been announced. You'll know that, because if you're listening to this in the morning, it's been announced. They're going to announce it during the Sunday Night Football game. We're not going to wait all around just to give you the time. You can figure that out. Right now, seeds. Kansas City got the one seed. Buffalo gets two, not one, but two kickoff returns from Nyheim Hines, including, like, I got emotional watching the video of the opening kick. Nyheim Hines takes the opening kickoff in Buffalo back for a touchdown in their first play after what happened with DeMar Hamlin. That's not even like storybook. That's the old, the producer throws the script away because it's too unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, that nothing beats the reality of the fact that they went to Buffalo and ran back the opening kickoff. And then DeMar Hamlin live tweeting it with an OMFG and like 10 exclamation points, which just, it was really cool. It was really cool. Although from that point forward, Bengals fans did not think it was very cool, because those two kickoff returns ended up being the difference that saved Buffalo from losing to New England. Buffalo wins 35-23 on the back of those, which gives them the two seed. If they wouldn't have, if New England would have pulled that off, the Bengals would have been the two seed. They would have had they would have had two home games at minimum, assuming they would play all the way through. Instead, a potential 2-3 game between the Bills and the Bengals will be in Orchard Park if that happens, much to the dismay of many of you, I'm aware. Number four seed, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who won on Saturday against the seven losses in a row Tennessee Titans. The Bengals set them about their way. Seven losses in a row for the Titans. Hot Jags enter. Trevor Lawrence playing well. Jags 6-1 in their last seven. LA Chargers, the fifth seed. They will play at Jacksonville this weekend. They are on fire. They have won a bunch of games in a row before kind of sitting some guys a little bit today. Baltimore, not on fire, but they will come back here next week and play the Bengals. Miami sneaks in the seventh seed. By virtue of New England losing, Miami playing deep into their quarterback roster, having to win 9-6 on a field goal, 50-yard field goal at the end, not exactly sprinting in. But the rest of the AFC is, Jay.
Yes.
And you have a KC team that is on a roll. You know, they haven't lost since losing to the Bengals here. Mm-hmm. You have a Buffalo team that is on a roll. You know, they've won now seven in a row. The Bengals have won eight in a row. Jags are 6-1. The Chargers have won. Well, we'll see what they win today, but you know, the AFC, we started at the beginning of the year saying this. The AFC looks like it could be stacked.
It is.
And it has turned out that way. you know, amongst his group. And then you throw Trevor Lawrence into the mix of all these quarterbacks, right? It was because all these quarterbacks, all these teams loading up, all these weapons. Well, they've made it here. And you just have a bunch of teams that are on fire right now that are all going to be going against each other. To me, when you start talking through that group, obviously you'd love to be in the 2-7. And the AFC North will be an AFC North playoff game is an absolute dogfight every single time. You'll take Baltimore in your house. You'll take Baltimore in your house, not knowing if Lamar Jackson's going to play.
Right.
You know, the way that they have struggled offensively all year. I mean, even if Lamar plays, he hasn't practiced in 5-6 weeks.
Yep.
So I think you'll take this matchup if you're trying to, if you're lining it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, if you're a Bengals fan, and if you're listening to this, you probably are, your second favorite team next weekend is going to be the Dolphins, because that's the team that can get the Bengals a home game. Dolphins really playing poorly, kind of backdooring into the playoffs. Waddle and Tyreek Hill both left that game with injuries. Don't know the severity of that. To ask Miami to go to Buffalo and pull an upset sounds like a big ask. But again, the main thing is Bengals beating the Ravens, moving on, seeing what happens. I don't know what that line would look like if it's Bengals at Buffalo in the divisional round. I imagine it'll be pretty tight. But first things first, it's the Ravens sitting dead ahead of them. Yes, same Ravens team, but also, no, not the same Ravens team after all the guys they sat today.
That's just it. So, Mark Andrews, they come out, and we knew some of the guys might not play. There had been talk of Snoop Huntley not playing. John Harbaugh said, you know, he's looking at this through a two-week window, mm-hmm. is how he viewed these games. And so he didn't play Mark Andrews. He didn't play J.K. Dobbins, who has been awesome since he's come back. He didn't play Snoop Huntley, which tells you maybe he thinks that he might need him next week, mm-hmm. Certainly. Marcus Peters didn't play. You know, you had a lot of their stars. Kevin Zeitler did not play. You know, they guys that had dings that he opted to rest. Now, a lot of their guys did play, and they did get after it. And to be quite frank, they gave the Bengals some problems, even with all the backups out there. Mm-hmm. You know, if it isn't for Anthony Brown being a bad quarterback in his first start, you know, giving the ball up a couple times and some very odd play calling deep in their own end right before halftime, you know, letting Brown sit back there and pat the ball for what ended up being a strip sack fumble touchdown recovery by Joseph Osai, you know, we're talking about something very different. But I don't, you know, takeaways from this game are going to be hard to find. I think it's going to be a much different game. No matter who you were playing next week, it's a much different game in the playoffs. The way that this game was approached, I think, is going to be far different. I don't know, Jay. You tell me what you would take away most from this game. I don't know if it's positive or negative in that regard.
My takeaway is that they didn't have Dobbins, they didn't have Lamar, and they still ran the ball really well against the Bengals defense that's supposed to be pretty good against the run when DJ Reader is in there, and DJ Reader was in there. That's what surprised me the most, especially knowing that Anthony Brown was so erratic and not much of a threat, and you would think they would sell out a little bit more and be able to do a better job against the run. And Baltimore, they surprised me by how effectively they ran the ball really in both halves, and then it was the passing game that got going in the second half.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, Baltimore ends up 27 for 110 at 4.1 per carry, which you know, is pretty good considering how stout the Bengals run defense has typically been. I think there's stuff to be had there. The other side of it was, you know, they get up 17-0 immediately and you're thinking, okay, here's the route, right? You're going to run it up or how long until Brandon Allen's in, all that stuff. And then from that point forward, you know, it really wasn't. I mean, Baltimore kind of pushed back. The Bengals offense couldn't do much. Joe Burrow missed on a bunch of throws. And they really couldn't get much going offensively. Their defense essentially saved them. All the turnovers essentially saved them. You know, even when the offense was scoring early, you know, the Ravens, you could see this is how every Ravens game looks like. Okay. Every Ravens game, when you go down their schedule, looks like this. It's 17-10. It's 16-9. It's 13-3. It's that's what every single Ravens game has been for the last month and a half. Their defense is great. Their offense is poor. And this was that again. I mean, the Bengals putting up 27 is the most any team has put up on them in a long time. So I think they do this to people. They make games look like this. The question is, you know, Burrow said himself, I didn't play well. I miss throws that I usually make. Check that. I always make, and I won't miss them again. And sort of voice the frustration in the way that he played today, which is true. I mean, T. Higgins running wide open in the all alone in the end zone, an overthrow. There were a number of mistimed out routes and just a seam ball. I mean, you had a couple balls that really left his receivers hanging out there.
Yeah, that was it.
You're right. It takes you back to some of those games early in the season. Not that he played like that, but where it was, this is not something that I would take away. This is not, you know, week one, five turnovers is not who Joe Burrow is going to be. A guy who misses wide open throws is not somebody who Joe Burrow is going to be. I think there's a lot of things at play there. One, I mean, look, when the other team's resting their starters and not playing a bunch of dudes and you go up 17-0, I know we've talked about this before and you can't in the NFL or whatever. It's just such a natural reaction to be like, okay, how long am I even in here? What are we going to do? Let's just go have some fun, you know? And I think that plays into this in a way, in a bigger picture too.
And I think it looked a little different at the end of the game. They really had no interest in moving the chains. It was all about running out the clock. Not doing anything crazy to let the Ravens come back. There was a number of times, I know in the second half and maybe even in the first half, they just fell in love with this wide receiver, 3rd and 7, and they're throwing wide receiver screens to Jamar, and I think there was one to Trenton Irwin. It was kind of some conservative, a little bit odd play calling. And you're right, you know, the wide open one to Jamar that he misses early in the game, you're like, okay, get that out of the way. But then the one he missed on Higgins was a really bad miss. And he did. He led those guys into some serious hits, and they could have lost them. I mean, you see Boyd go down. He gets checked for concussion. Luckily, didn't have one. Higgins gets blasted. You're wondering, did he get broken ribs on that? I mean, he was down, and he fortunately jumped up and jogged off and came back a couple plays later. But, it's just – you're right. It's human nature. They got up, and it was more about – playing against the clock in the second half than playing against the Ravens defense.
But, you know, the Ravens defense is going to be good. They're going to put you in tough spots. I mean, they are an elite group. I mean, there's no question about it. If they could find any semblance of offense or they can create some with that defense, you know, you can be in trouble in a hurry against them. And I think that's the thing next week that we'll talk a lot about this week is, you know, a Lamar rejuvenation. If J.K. Dobbins is in there, how even more explosive is that running game that was 4.1 per carry? Is it different? Or even Snoop Huntley? So, I mean, there's Mark Andrews. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can change the dynamics of the way this game is played if they miss those throws next week, if they don't complete those plays next week. And I think that's something where these last three games they've played, you've seen some cracks. You know, and it's hard to take – again, we've talked about this nitpicking that we're doing at the end. I mean, they've won 8 in a row, and they've been insanely dominant for long stretches of that. But there has been a little bit more of late of the up and down. You would have loved to have seen, obviously, for a million reasons, that Bills game be completed all the way to see if that's the one where they put the complete game out there against the elite opponent in the big stage. That's the feel of what the playoffs is going to have. There's going to be no letting off the gas or – or slowing up from this point forward in the playoffs because, you know, of what it is. The other side of this matchup that's going to happen this week that we learned from today, Jay, is this Bengals defense not real fond of the Baltimore offense.
No.
I mean, you were in there, and they weren't holding back.
Yeah, I mean, I the first person I went to was DJ Reader. He had just lit a cigar and got done with the defensive line photo, and I just asked him about the uniqueness of having to play the same team 2 weeks in a row, and he said, I don't have much to say about that team over there. I have respect for some guys over there, and I don't for some. I don't have much to talk about. Things happen today. It's the way, if that's the game they want to play, it is what it is. There was some shit I don't agree with. I'll be ready to go next week. There is more. I asked Joseph Osai about celebrating his first touchdown, and then I asked him what DJ said. And he said, if they want to talk more about it, we'll talk more about it. We've got to see some guys about some things, some certain things we didn't like that they did. I don't want to go into details, but we'll see them next week. Cam Taylor Britt said, there is a lot of cheap shit going on. Just know that we owe them.
So there you go.
Yes.
It's laid out. I mean, kind of it's going to be a theme for the week. Not that you need to add much more. You know, I sort of talked a minute ago about AFC North playoff games. My mind always goes back to any of these that we've seen over the years. Ravens, Steelers, Steelers, Bengals. I mean, games that are just bloodbaths.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way they play out. They're intense. There's a certain brand, and it's the brand that the Ravens are playing right now. Now, the Bengals have had no problem showing they can win different ways. They can win with a bloodbath, physical-type game. They've done it before. They were very pass-heavy today, which is kind of a side note.
Yeah.
They weren't even really hardly attempting to run the ball, and you wonder why that is. You wonder if that's who they are now at this point. But you know, you get into that game, you can run it up quick, but it's going to be a contrast of styles if that's the way they plan on being going forward. I mean, there's just almost no involvement of the run game in this week. We'll see how much of that was. We asked Zach Taylor about this after the game, about you get up 17-0, they're resting their starters, you're thinking about next week and yeah, how much that plays into play calls, what you're doing. He's like, yeah, I mean, naturally, you don't want to show things. You don't want to put so much out there. It's kind of in the back of your head all game. And I think that's part of it, you know, whether it's run game stuff or whether it's a lot of plays you saw that just looked like they should have been the fourth choice. Maybe they were, right? Because you are saving some of that stuff for next week, the same way that John Harbaugh was saving some of his players for next week.
You know how they always talk about you play to win the game, you don't play not to lose. And it felt like they were playing not to lose today. And even if they had lost, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. Yes, it looks like maybe it would have had to come down to that coin flip had they lost. But it had that weird feel. It was intensity-wise, because of what I mentioned before with the animosity between the teams, that was there. That felt like an AFC North game. But just stakes-wise, it didn't feel like the outcome was that important. It was almost, once they jumped out to that 17-0 lead, it was almost like a foregone conclusion that both teams were, you know, just get through this and get on to the playoff game.
Yeah. I want to briefly touch on something Joe Burrow said after the game. After he was sort of talking about his own frustrations with the way he played and that he's got to be better next week. And that's all fair and correct. I was kind of asked about this being, you know, a prime championship window. That's something we talked about. We talked extensively about this with Tyler Dunn at 50 West, about the Bills and the Bengals are really – the window will never be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a quarterback of this level who's playing at the elite level on a rookie contract and two receivers on rookie contracts and all the talent they've amassed on this team and everything else, and the concept of this kind of being such a big Super Bowl window for this team entering the playoffs. He said, the window is my whole career. We've said this before. He's not wrong. You know, his point being, me, the coaches that are here, you know, the talent that's going to stay around us, whatever. I mean, if Joe Burrow's here, he's going to be bringing boxes of cigars every January. because that's the level of play. That's what matters. Look around. Look at the Chiefs. Like we talk often about your windows and how long they can last. I mean, the Chiefs are one win away from going to five straight AFC championship games. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady went to 10 in a row. Okay? Because when you're that dude at that position, that's what matters. It doesn't matter talents up, talents down, contracts high, cap hits high, lose a guy here, lose an elite receiver, your defense is struggling 1 year, whatever. Cigars, right? The scene we saw today, I'm going to remember next time to not bring my coat because this is not going to be the last time this happens. And Joe Burrow's not wrong. He'll never have more talent around him. This is as good of opportunity as you can get.
Yeah.
You're on fire. You have a relatively healthy team. We'll talk about Alex Kappa in a second. And you're on this run. You can't line it up much better than this, but that doesn't mean they won't still be lining it up plenty of times and going forward. But this is obviously a particularly good one. But I just thought Burrow just kind of sitting there and saying it is something that a lot of people have said, but he's not wrong.
You know what pisses me off about that guy? I'm okay with him being a better football player than me, but we're writers. We're supposed to come up with the words and the good lines. How many times when you're writing a story do you like rework a line and try to come up, make it sound the best? And he just does this stuff off. I mean, that was such a great quote. The window is my whole career. And he doesn't rehearse this stuff. He goes in, he just responds to whatever is thrown at him question-wise, and he does. He just sets that tone. And that's why they follow him, and that's why he's right, that this team is going to be in the mix as long as he's here.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Alex Kappa. So Alex Kappa goes down with a left ankle injury. And it looked bad. He really got rolled up on hard. He left on a cart. He sort of kind of blue kisses the stands. I assume some sort of family probably.
It was his wife. I asked.
Yeah, his wife. Yep. And he said, "I'm all right." He was around on one of those little scooters with his leg up. Afterwards, you said you talked to Alex.
Yeah. No wrap or anything on the leg. I asked who he was blowing the kiss for, and he said it was his wife. And I said, "How are you? You going to be okay?" He said, "You have to talk to the trainers."
Yeah.
But it was notable that there was nothing on that ankle. It didn't look swollen, but we're going to have to wait and see. It did not look good at all. He was really having a hard time getting off the field, and then went straight in the blue tent and then had to get on a cart to go into the locker room.
We'll kind of find out and track down more of that as we get going. In the meantime, Max Sharping comes in and he'll be the guy. I mean, he was the waiver wire pickup out of Houston, who we talked about at the beginning of the year. Kind of surprised that he was made available, considering he's been a starting interior offensive lineman for 3 years in this league. and Houston didn't really want to let him go, but the Bengals were quick to swoop and get him, but he's kind of sat there as the first guard off the bench all year. But Folsom and Kappa have played every game and damn near every snap, and they haven't needed him. Well, now in the biggest stage, he's going to get thrust out there more than likely next week. You already had Lyle Collins down. So now your right side is Collins and Sharping, and you're starting to get flashbacks to last year, right, where you're worried about your line, your whole right side, and it gets a little harder. Ted Karras, you know, Alex Kappa is my biggest confidant on this team, and we've got a lot of time together. He's like another center out there. So it's going to be a lot of extra time this week working, you know, with Max and making sure that I'm putting extra time in with all the calls and everybody being on the same page, you know, because you're now adding all kinds of variables out there, and you're worried about the line, especially if you're dropping back and throwing it as much as they have been lately. So that is certainly a big blow. There's been a lot of talk about how good Kappa has been playing. Brian Callahan was talked about how, you know, he's kind of playing as good as any interior guard in the league. It's been really solid. We know about Burrow wanting the interior to hold up for him and that pocket to hold. That's going to be a big deal going forward.
Yeah, you mentioned the way Karras spoke about him, and then Joe Burrow said the same thing where, you know, mentioned it almost as if it was a given that Max is going to have to step up. So you don't want to read too much into it. It sounds like they've resigned themselves to the fact that at least this week against the Ravens, that they're probably not going to have Kappa, and we'll have to see beyond that how long this injury holds him out.
So Bengals win. No coin toss necessary. Joe Mixon was the only one that had a cut coin toss after the first one today. Joe, they saw the Chad Ochocinco tweet saying, oh man, you guys have to flip a coin after a touchdown and I'll pay the fine. He said, so Mixon said, well, how am I going to get that out there? So he decided to put it in his glove, put it inside of his glove. He said, whoever scores a touchdown, I'll give you the coin. So it ended up being Mixon. Mm-hmm. It was almost Tyler Boyd. It ended up being Mixon, and he pulls the actual coin out and flips it, and it hits the ground, and they kick it. He said, if it landed on tails, we decided we were going to kick it. Landed on tails, so we kicked it. Or as T. Higgins said, we kicked the shit out of that thing. And so, hysterical, right? Just a fun, as fun as it gets. You know, Jesse Bates said something. He's like, that just goes to show you how freaking cool our locker room is, where we take something like that and instead of bitch about it, we turn it into something fun. He's like, that's part of what makes us a cool locker room. And we'll kind of talk about that. And then also they wanted to make sure, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase all said the same thing. Like, so Chad, I mean, you said you were going to pay that fine, right? Right? You better be paying that fine. So they're hoping that Chad is a man of his word, is what Joe Mixon said. He hopes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen the tips that Chad has left for our waitresses and waiters. I would not be surprised at all if he pays that fine. And if he doesn't, then maybe a Bengal super fan or someone might arrange a GoFundMe that Bengal fans, I'm sure, would be happy to donate to.
Yeah, don't GoFundMe professional athletes, hardworking people. You have to do that. Chad is more than happy to do it. He's a pro at paying fines. It's right up his alley. So, all right. This next week, it will be Bengals-Ravens again right here. It will be the playoffs, round one of the playoffs, and the beginning of potentially a long run or not. The finality sets in. All hands on deck this week. So keep it locked with us. We will, of course, have all your coverage leading into next week's game against the Ravens. We will have your regular podcast on Tuesday, preview on Thursday, and we'll be right back here. You know, this past week was a hard one. Thank you to everybody that kind of reached out and said they enjoyed the podcast or appreciate what we did. It was funny because of everything that was going on this week. I don't think we hardly had any opportunity to really talk about this Baltimore game.
Nope.
So this week now, we'll actually have a chance to talk about Baltimore and the Ravens and the ins and outs of this game as well as we lay out the playoffs going forward. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Smoke them if you got them.